Now let's consider the law and economics of copyright in the music sector. The digitalization of music has led to a number of developments coming together at the same time, which have served to lower revenues for the recording segment of the music sector. These include, of course, illegal downloads through file sharing services, CD burning or copying, often through one's friends. There are now several legal but low-revenue ways of accessing music. One example is Spotify, which pays very small amounts of money to recording artists. And also the fact that listeners now have much greater options of just buying a single, say through iTunes, rather than purchasing an entire album. It can be debated just how much musical recording revenues are fallen. To see some figures, you can Google music industry revenues, but I think one plausible estimate is that those revenues peaked in the late 1990s, and since then they've about fallen in half. Musicians, of course, have made adjustments, so there's more low-tech music, often recorded at home. So the days of the 1970s when, say, Emerson, Lake and Palmer or Led Zeppelin would just hire a whole orchestra, well, that's much less often the case now. There are also a lot more live concerts, and live concerts are much more important as a source of revenue because even if the recording can be illegally downloaded, the concert experience remains fairly unique. Outside commentators on these trends tend to focus on issues of justice and fairness and whether musicians are being paid what they deserve. Economists focus on efficiency, costs and benefits, and we refer to the sum of consumer and producer surplus. That's how much consumers and producers benefit from trading music with each other, and generally it's seen that there really is a good argument for intellectual property rights in the form of copyright, namely that it gives musicians an incentive to produce works, knowing they can sell them to consumers and reap some revenue in return. That said, recorded music is a non-rivalrous good. That is, once it's recorded, more people could listen to it without actually harming anyone. So if copyright law is too strict or enforced too strictly, what happens is that we are restricting the amount of musical enjoyment because a lot of the people who could be listening maybe wouldn't have been willing to pay for that or not been willing to pay very much. So copyright law, when it's trying to maximize the sum of consumer and producer surplus, it's aiming for this delicate balance of creating enough revenue to encourage production, but not making the price so high and the enforcement so strict that the dissemination of music is so tightly limited. From a cost-benefit perspective, the new musical world order probably looks better than it does from a fairness perspective. For one thing, what we see is that wasteful purchases of music have gone down. These days, it's quite common that you've heard music before you buy it, so you're much less likely to buy something, which then you're unhappy with or you simply leave on the shelf or on your iPod not listened to. This means, by the way, that lower revenues are not in every way a bad thing. Sometimes it reflects, simply, better consumer information. An economic perspective also recognizes that an optimal solution probably does involve some piracy. Of course, it is necessary that some number of individuals pay for the music, but it's also the case that a lot of other individuals wouldn't pay for the music at all or would pay a very small amount. If you can get to a regime where there's a kind of partial copyright enforcement, where some individuals pay, but the individuals with lesser valuations either get the music for free or get it at a lower price and then talk up that music, it's at least possible that virtually everyone can be better off, including the artists and the music companies. You can think of that as another form of price discrimination. Now, we've probably overshot the optimum, and we may well have too much piracy, but from an economic perspective, it's wrong to think that piracy is inefficient per se. It's hard to come up with a conclusive economic answer as to how efficient the world of recorded music is today. And a key question here really is about the social function of music. That is, music just isn't about listening to notes. What's striking is that in music markets, especially in the United States, people buy mostly new music and new releases. Those tend to be the best sellers and to account for the bulk of the revenue. Why are people so obsessed with new music? Well, it's not that they've already heard all of the old music and mastered it. It seems to be that new music performs some special kind of social function involving, say, the signaling of what kind of person you are, who your friends are, of sorting people into social groups, and to understand the market for music, we need to understand this social function. So for me, a key question is this. We've moved into a world where there are a greater number of albums released because it's easier to enter the market, but in terms of revenue from albums and also songs, that revenue is much less. And does this new musical world perform the social functions of music better or worse? I would say at this point, we still don't know. Here would be some of my guesses overall. That is, formerly, before digital music, copyright was too strict. It wasn't so much a question of the law, but simply that copying music was in a lot of ways pretty difficult. We're now in a world where, in some ways, copyright enforcement for music is too loose. We've somehow passed over a happy medium and gone rather quickly from too strict to too loose. In any case, it seems that technology is outracing the law, and it's not a question of how we can fine-tune the laws to get the best possible outcome, but rather simply wondering what is it that the technological advances are going to be bringing us. One point most economists do agree on is that the length of copyright term is probably too long. So in the United States, the baseline has been life plus 70 years, that is life of the creator, but there have been a lot of extensions and modifications, and sometimes it seems that the copyright term will become nearly eternal. The cost-benefit view is that copyright term should indeed be long enough to encourage creation, but you get a lot of those benefits after the first 10 or 20 years, and in some cases, even after the first few years. Most musical works that are going to pay off well within that time horizon. And once that time horizon is up, it is more efficient for those musical works to enter the public domain. That's not, however, what we've seen. We found with copyright law, as with a lot of patent law, it has ended up being ruled by rent-seeking and special interests. That is, there are some group of institutions, typically entertainment corporations, which have a strong financial interest in the term of copyright being ever extended, because for them it means higher royalties. There are many listeners and also other musical artists who might do better if those works were in the public domain, but they are quite diffuse, they are less effective at lobbying, and overall it's been rather discouraging how much copyright law has now been the result of lobbying in terms of how the particulars are enforced and applied. To dip into the broader literature, you can start by Googling terms like economics, music, copyright. If you'd like to read some of the papers on how illegal downloads have hurt music sales, you can Google to the work of Stanley Liebowitz, also using the terms music and copyright. Also, there's a chapter by me in my book, Good in Plenty, which outlines some of the basic economics of copyright as applied to music.